going to be in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, if you want to grab your Bibles or reach in the seat in front of you. Underneath there should be a Bible. We're going to spend the whole time there. We're not going to go anywhere else. We're going to take a look at this story of the 10 lepers and see what we can't learn from it. We're in our Persons of Interest series, which last summer we did the Heroes of the Faith of the Old Testament, which I loved because we got a chance to brush up on some great characters, great people of the Old Testament, what they did and how they spoke to us. And we wanted to do the Heroes of the New Testament this summer, but then we got to talking in our study time with Roger and Rick and myself, and we just we decided to go with not just the heroes of the faith in the New Testament, but those heroes of the faith that aren't even named. We don't even know who they are. Because I get that feeling with a lot of people that they think they can't do amazing things for God because they're not somebody. They don't have these letters after their name or this title before their name, or they haven't had this accomplishment or that. And all that is such hogwash, such nonsense, scripturally. God's plan was to use each and every one of us in an incredible way to witness, to help others be pointed to Him. And this passage points us to that. And all the ones we're going to be looking at this summer are all people who don't even get their name in print, but yet they do something that all of us could look up to, should look up to, and ought to model after. I think probably the topic we're going to talk about today is the biggest problem that we have in our world today. I know it's one of the biggest problems that I have, and that is the sin of ingratitude. We're a people that's not very thankful. We're a people that's not very content. We're a people that always wants more. If you have children at home, you know that. Nothing you do is good enough. It's always something else they want, something else they want, something else they want. But that's our world we live in. We have fast food, we have this, we have that, but then it's not fast enough, or it's not hot, or it's not this, or it's not that. We always want more things. We're a people that are uncontent, where we lack gratitude, and I think it shows and it spills out in our world, and therefore we have a bunch of people that are disgruntled, a bunch of people, including Christians, that are unsatisfied, a bunch of people that don't recognize what God's doing in their life. And that's really what our story talks about today. It talks about 10 guys all the same. One guy gets what God is doing in his life, and the other 9 kind of miss it. And I just ask that as we look at this story, as we study through, there's an insert in your bulletin if you want to follow along, take some notes or whatever. But I'd ask that where you see yourself, be searching your own heart and asking, where am I in the story? Where do I fit in? Because we fit in one place or the other. We really do. We'll find ourselves there. But as I think about the fact, my own ingratitude, my own lack of thankfulness, you only have to pause for a moment and think of all that the Lord's done for you this week, all the blessings that you have, all that you've got to experience and accomplish, and it won't take you long to realize that, God, we're pretty fortunate with our family, with our friends, with our jobs, with our homes. But we have this attitude, and as believers, it's really a problem, because as children of God, as believers, we should be growing in our gratitude and our attitude each and every day. It shouldn't be difficult for us to find thanks every hour, every moment, every day, for what God's doing. But we're much like, unfortunately, because of this world we live in, we're much like that little boy who was given this orange by this man. And like most of us, when our child is given something by somebody, we say, what do you say to the nice man, right? Do you say that? You want to encourage your child to say the right thing? And so the boy's holding the orange, and he's looking at the guy, and he's thinking for a minute, and he hands the orange back to the guy, and he says, peel it. And therein lies our world. It's not enough that we have an orange. We want it peeled for us too. We don't want to do any of the work. We don't want to do any of the sacrifice. We don't want to do any of the labor. We don't want to do any of the... We just want everything given to us. And I'm not going to get into the whole world thing, but with the Lord, it's not supposed to be that way. With Christ, it's not supposed to be that way, and yet we exhibit that attitude. Let's take a look at our passage here. We'll go through it quickly here, and then we'll break it down in our message. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. I want you to take note of some of the things that happened here, because we're going to look over them. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So the first thing I want to look at is what these guys all have in common, because we have a lot of these same common things too, and then what sets them apart. The first thing that they had in common was they all were in the same position here. And the position they were in was a terrible position. We see that they are at a distance. They stood at a distance, it says. Some passages, some versions say afar. They were unable to get close to him. They were unable to get close to Jesus. Why? Because they were men of leprosy. They were unable to, the law said that they had to stay back. The law said that they couldn't get close. And so they all had this, not only the pain of leprosy and the difficulty of this terrible disease, but they had the outcast that it caused them to be. They had to leave their families. They had to leave their friends. None of their friends invited them over anymore. They couldn't go to their friend's house. They couldn't hug or kiss their wife or hug or kiss their children. None of this could happen. I want you to pause and think about that for a second. I know some of you live like hermits and really don't like to get out of the house and do a lot, but imagine having nobody. Imagine having nothing. Imagine not being able to see and touch and kiss and hold and play with any of your coworkers, any of your friends, any of your family, any of your fishing mates, any of your buddies, and nothing, and you were just isolated. That's what these guys were going through. They were outcasts. They were shunned. And probably one of the worst things that they were shunned, they were excluded from the Father, because the only way to the Father was through the Son, Jesus Christ, and they couldn't come close to him because they had this terrible disease. They were shut out from everybody. What kept them at a distance was the law. The law said that they needed to, if you came across one of these guys, you needed to go to the other side of the street, other side of the road, other side of the path, the trail, whatever, and you needed to shout, unclean, unclean. That's pretty humiliating, isn't it? Not only are you isolated, not only do you have no physical contact with anybody because you're banned from that by the law, the Mosaic law, but now people walk by you and yell unclean. Imagine walking down Lincoln Way and someone runs the other side of the road and starts yelling unclean when you walk by. Imagine being in Walmart and they change aisles and start yelling unclean because you're walking by. And I know you're thinking, yeah, I know some people that maybe I do that to. But that would be terrible. That would be absolutely terrible. And that's exactly, we need to go over this because you need to know the state these guys were in. You need to go exactly the condition, what they were enduring, or else we won't appreciate it. Because in our world, we don't appreciate much, right? That's the whole context of this message. We're not very appreciative. So we understand that they were shunned. We understand that not only were they shunned, they were called names. They were outcasts. Just as their leprosy caused them to be separated, our sin causes you and I to be separated. That's why we can relate to this story, because not that you and I are suffering with leprosy, unless you got something to tell me, but sin is the same way. Not only their leprosy separated them from their community, separated them from God, separated them from being able to come to him, our sin separates us the same way. And if not for Jesus Christ, in this case or in our case, we would be separated. And so therein lies the link that we have with these guys. There's where we can connect with them. Where the law says you cannot go, Jesus says, yeah, I can. Where man says, I can't go across the street and have contact with this person, Jesus says, but I can. And thank God for you and I that he does that, that those barriers aren't there when it comes to him. That even in the midst of our sin and our difficulty and our screw-ups and our errors, he doesn't walk by on the other side. He comes close to us to help us. And it's important because Jesus came to save sinners. He came to help you and I. Yeah, and thank God he did. My family can't help me. My friends can't help me. My church can't help me. But Jesus can help me. That's what we need to remember. I mean, our family can help us, our friends can help, but only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can really help us. And these guys, they knew in their outcast position, their distant position, their afar position where they couldn't come close to him, they knew that their only hope was maybe in this guy called Jesus. Maybe if we cry out to him. And here's what they said. They called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They all prayed the same prayer. It says all of them did this. Not one of them, not a couple of them, but every single one of them prayed the exact same prayer. And when he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. They all shared the exact same prayer. Notice something about their prayer, though, that's interesting. The first thing is their observation. They realize the fact that they're in need. There lies a big problem with you and I. We don't realize our need. We don't realize that we have a problem. So therefore, we don't ask for help. You probably have friends like that, family members like that, and they're just blinded to it. They don't see it. These guys recognized they had problems. This disease was causing them to not only physical pain, but to miss their families. And they recognized their position, and they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The reason why sinners don't come to Christ is because they don't realize that they're sinners. They don't realize that they have a need for Christ. We have to recognize our problem. We have to recognize that we've done something wrong. We have to recognize that we need help, and you and I have to cry out for grace, for mercy, for pity, for Jesus to intervene. So they cry out this prayer, but it didn't stop just there. It wasn't just that they uttered the same words. It wasn't just that they recognized that they needed help. But look at their obedience in this. You see, prayer without obedience is pointless. It is useless. If you and I say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," and that's all we do, it ain't going to work. But if we say that, and then when we hear him speak, and we actually, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they weren't cleansed just standing there going, "Jesus, have pity on us." But in obedience, they turned around and they started on their way to do exactly what he had told them to do. And in that obedient act, they were cleansed. Do you see it? Prayer without obedience is pointless. It's useless. We have to pray this prayer, but then we have to be obedient to do something about it. We can't continue the same behavior. We can't continue the same pattern and then go, "Why ain't I getting any better?" If Jesus says do this and don't do that, then we got to go do this and don't do that. And when we do that, then he intervenes. And we're cleansed, we're helped, we're healed. But we have to do our part in all that. We can't just expect him to do his. They're not immediately healed. They're only healed as they went. Notice that they all received the exact same physical healing. Now, one of them didn't get more than the other one. They all 10 were men, they all 10 had leprosy, and they all 10 were cleansed. Pretty simple stuff. One didn't get more than the other. They all had the same opportunity to give thanks and praise God. Right? When they all walked away in obedience, and it says that they were cleansed, that's where we're at in our passage right now before we move here in a second. Every single one of them at that point, when they were cleansed walking away, had an opportunity to give thanks, had an opportunity to praise God, had an opportunity to recognize what God was doing in their lives. But this is where we get to what they didn't have in common, what set the one apart. Note what they had in common, now note what they didn't have. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. That's our first point. Only one returned to give thanks. Why didn't the rest of them? Only one thought it necessary to come and do this. Only one saw that when he was healed, he turned back. Only one took the opportunity and took advantage of what God had did for him. And yet all 10 we've seen got the exact same thing. Where do you find yourself looking at that just so far? Do you find yourself in the 9 that received blessings just like everybody else and yet not grateful, or like the one where you receive stuff and you go and you give thanks? You see, many see their need to pray, but they don't see their need to praise. Come on, how many times do you cry out when the going gets rough, when things are difficult, when you really need God to do something that only God can do? And then when it comes to everyday praise, that he does things all the time for us, we don't do that as much. We find it easy. We find our need to pray, but we don't see our need, or we don't find it as easy to praise. We do that with people, too. We critique people really, really well. We see the things in people we don't like, that we wish they were different, but we don't praise them for the things we do like. It's not in our nature. It's not in our world. And so this is kind of opposite of what we're supposed to be. But this guy took advantage of the opportunity, saw what God had done in his life. We don't know how. We don't know if he looked down and the white scaly skin stopped falling out. We don't know if they were walking down the road together, all 10 of them, and they were cleansed. And for whatever reason, people passed them and maybe stopped yelling unclean. We don't know what it was exactly that caused him to realize it. But we do know that they were all cleansed because the scriptures say it. And we do know that he stopped where he was and he turned around and he made a beeline to Christ. You see, he once was not allowed to come close to Christ. But because of what Christ did for him, he could now go to him. And that was what his heart wanted to do. We see what God has done for us, and oftentimes we don't run back to him. We often don't give him thanks. But the difference with this guy was he had his priorities in order. I have no doubt that when these guys were declared clean by the priest, they made their way to be with their family and friends. And you can't blame them for that. And you need to understand, I'm not picking on these nine like they're complete terrible guys. These nine were doing exactly what the law said they had to do. The priest had to issue a certificate of cleanliness, a certificate of the fact that you were clean, in order for you to be entered back into your family, your friends, into society. So they weren't doing anything necessarily evil. They were following the law. But this guy had his priorities straight. He recognized that he was going to be able to go to the priest now and get that certificate, but the priest wasn't able to make him clean. Only Jesus can make him clean. And as he's going, he recognizes that. And he says, I need to go give thanks. See, these guys were caught up in the blessing of the fact that they were going to be able to go see their family, be able to go see their friends, be able to integrate back into society, be able to hug their children and hug their wives. But this guy, he loved his wife and children as much as the next guy. He wanted to give them a hug and a kiss, and he wanted to get back with his friends, and he wanted to get back into the, you know, he wanted all these things just as much as the other guys did, but he had his priorities in order, and he recognized that the priest can only issue me a certificate, and that certificate would not be possible if Jesus Christ hadn't made me clean. And so he goes back, and he falls at his feet, and he thanks him who made all that stuff possible. Then he goes and gets his certificate, and I'm sure he went and enjoyed his family and friends and all of his freedom now and the blessing of it as well. But he didn't allow the blessing to overshadow the blesser. You see, you and I have a lot of blessings in our life, and we forget who the blesser is. We have a lot of healings and wonderful things happen in our lives, in our friends, in our family's life, and we don't recognize the healer. The healer wasn't the doctor. The healer wasn't the nurse. The healer wasn't the medicine. The healer is Jesus Christ. That's it. The priest could only issue a certificate. He couldn't make these 10 guys clean. Only God could. Notice something else in this passage that I find kind of cool. It says here in verse 15 that he didn't just come back when he realized he was healed. He praised God in a loud voice. You notice that? It's the exact same terminology used in verse 11 and 12 when they cried out. It says in a loud voice, all of them cried out in a loud voice, have pity on us. He comes back and with the exact same zeal, in the exact same fervor that he cried out for help with, he now cried out with praise. You see that? We'll come to the Lord and we'll pray adamantly and passionately for something difficult in our life, whatever, and then God will do something amazing, and we don't come back with the same fervor. We don't come back with the same zeal. It's just kind of like an, oh, by the way, thanks God. If that. And this guy comes back with the exact same energy, the exact same tone, and the exact same attitude as he had when he first cried out. And he fell down on his face, it says, at his feet, giving him thanks. And it says he was a Samaritan, which is, you know, somebody'd be like, what's the point with that? But the point with that is he wasn't Jewish, so he really wasn't even supposed to get this blessing or whatever. You know, he wasn't worthy of this, but none of us are worthy of it. And Jesus is sending a message here that it's not about being a Samaritan or a Jew. It's about recognizing who Jesus Christ is. There lies the problem. And giving thanks to him. By grace he was healed. And he got more than the others did. he received spiritual healing. They received physical healing from a distance, but this is the only one that did not only receive physical healing, but spiritual healing. It says, because Jesus asked him, where are the other nine? Was no one else found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. You see, his faith didn't save him. His faith led him to the feet of the one who could save him. You with me? His faith didn't save him. His faith led him to the feet of the one who could, in fact, save him. The other nine were physically healed as well, but they weren't spiritually healed. The wording used there in the rise, go, your faith has made you well, is a saved, is a salvation issue. It's deeper. You see, God can move in your life, in my life, and do wonderful, incredible things because he's awesome like that, and do physical healing, but it doesn't mean we know him personally. This one out of the ten came and fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiped him as his Lord and Savior. And that caused spiritual healing, not just physical healing. And that makes all the difference in the world. So I ask you, where do you find yourself in this story? Do you find yourself looking more like the nine or more like the one? Do you recognize Christ as your only healer? The only one who can bless you? The only one who can is the giver of all good gifts? I know we got a lot of problems with different things in our lives. We have problems in our life, my wife and I. I understand you might have a marriage that's in trouble. You might have a job situation that's in trouble. You might have a kid that's struggling. A kid that's struggling with their health. A kid that's struggling with addiction. A parent that's struggling with addiction. Whatever it might be. I believe, as this one guy did, I believe that Jesus is what we need. And I believe we got to cry out to him to have mercy and to have pity. And then when he does this thing, we can't be neglectful to come back and thank him. For nothing is impossible. Pray with me. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that, God, you do everything in our lives. Father, the fact that we have kids to worry about or aging parents to worry about or a marriage to worry, it's only because you blessed us with giving us any of these things. Father, help us to realize that nothing is impossible with you, that all things are possible through you. Help us to realize that you are more than enough for all of our needs. Help us to realize, Lord, not just the blessings you give us, but you who bless us. You are the giver of everything we've got. Lord, thank you. You are our healer, and we give you great thanks for that. Lord, be glorified in this room. Be glorified in our lives.